Anybody ever ask you, I've got good news and bad news. Which one do you want to hear first? How many are with me? Cindy asked me that last week. She goes, I have good news and bad news. Which one do you want to hear first? I always say, I want to hear the bad news first because I want to end on a good note. Anybody with me? Okay, so that's what we're going to do. I want to talk to you about bad news, and then I'm going to give you some good news today. And we're going to make it as simple as I can. And what I'm about to speak on and is just something that has just changed me after 35 years of ministry. I want to give confidence to those that maybe have made a decision in one of those Sunday night services with Pastor David and that you've chose to follow Jesus. I want to give you confidence. I want to talk to those that you've been serving Jesus for so long. You knew Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to bring some humility to you. And for those that don't know God today, I want to tell you, you're in the right place today. And I'm so thankful that you're here. And if you couldn't get a seat, we apologize. And if you're in the annex or if you're watching in Jersey or if you're watching on the live webcast, we welcome you, as Pastor Carter said. So let me just say this to you. I've been in ministry now for almost 35 years, over 3.5 decades. And this is the one thing that I think I've realized. The one thing that I know is that the older I get, the less I know. Seriously. When Pastor Carter, you know that we started in ministry, I knew when Jesus was coming back who the Antichrist was. That's why I would preach on the tabernacle and what every loop and curtain meant and how it all pointed to Jesus. And then when I realized after 35 years, I really don't know very much. And so it's amazing how that the more you grow in God, the more you realize you don't know. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I don't know when the rapture is. Sometimes I don't even know what the book of Revelation means. And so I'm trying. That's why I love this one quote that said, young men, stay away from the subject of prophecy. Let the old men do it because they won't be around to see their mistakes. So I just, that's what I agree. I just go, but I'm getting to be an old man. So I may be able to speak on that. I just want to be real simple with you today. Can we do that today? Because I think the gospel is simple. And I don't want to complicate it today. So I want to be as simple as I can that I want to help you. I want to help you as a church. I want to help you for Tuesday night prayer meeting. I want to help you for some of you that are going to pray for the first time today. Have you ever felt unfit to pray for something? Have you ever felt for a situation that they ask you to pray for? Anybody felt like, yeah, I know God answers prayer, but I'm a little nervous to pray over this? Because there are people that if I need prayer, that I'll call upon them. When I've heard them pray, and I mean, even here at this church, I've been to your prayer meetings. I've watched at services where some of your pastors, some of your elders have prayed, and those would be the ones I would call. If I need something, I'm going to call Pastor Carter to pray. I've watched Pastor Patrick pray and thinking to myself, I can't even pray that way. I mean, Elder Vicky, my goodness, she sings and talks the same way. Her face scrunches up and she just goes, and it's like, that's just the way she is. She'll just go, I'm going like, I can't even do that. And so I think to myself, I'm going, I don't even know how to do those kind of things. And after 35 years, I mean, I've read biographies of prayer, and they have even challenged me. And sometimes I have felt even unworthy, going like, I can't even pray that way. I can't even do it. And sometimes I read things that are not encouraging me, but I'm going like, I am so far. And after being so long in the Lord, I'm going, I need so much help. Anybody with me that you just need? I just finished a biography last year, 800 pages and of one of the great preachers of the 19th century named Charles Spurgeon in London, considered to be, at his time, one of the greatest pastors in the world as he started the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and was called a great man of prayer. They said he was trying to find a building for an orphanage, and was because he saw all these kids being stranded and left on the streets at that time. So he's going to buy a building. And so he's going around London and just felt like God put a price in his heart and walked into a building and said, this is the perfect building. The agent met him there. And I'm reading this going, I can't do this. And he goes, how much is this? He gave him the agent gave him the price. He says, I'm prepared to pay you half of that today. And the agent just goes, I reject your offer. There's no way. My client wouldn't do that. And so they said that the client called the agent, says, were there any takers on the home? He says, yes. We had one guy who offered half the price. And the man goes, well, who was it? Who would even think of doing that? His name, and he pulled out a card and he goes, well, his name was Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon. And all of a sudden there was quiet and the man goes, Spurgeon came to the house today. He said, yeah. He says, the Charles Spurgeon. He said, yeah. And he offered you money for the house? He goes, yeah. He says, call him and take it because the way he prays, he's liable to get it for free. I don't pray that way. Anybody with me? I'm off. If you have an offer price, I'm offering what you tell me. I'm just going, here's the offer price. Because sometimes I feel like I don't even know how to pray. I feel like I need help in anything. And on any given Sunday, I can walk out of the church and meet people and they're going, can you pray for me? I've just got a report I have cancer, or my marriage is in trouble, or I'm getting ready to go to a court and I'm for custody of my kids. And it's overwhelming sometimes. And I feel like after 35 years, though I do whatever I can to pray, it becomes even sometimes a struggle. I've fought through for 3 decades, and you fight through focus or not having and feel like you have enough of words, or you're there. I know I'm probably the only one here falling asleep in prayer and have done things like that. I've done that. I've run out of words sometimes. I'm just going, okay, I'm going to give you an hour, God. And you just go, Lord, I love you. You're awesome. I praise your name. And you look down, you're going, 3 minutes. That's it. This should be a lot longer. And then you just, there's a lot of hallelujahs, and you hold them out. You're just going, hallelujah. Thank you, Jim. I got 55 minutes to go. And I'll run out of, I'm just telling you the truth. I know I'm the only one that battles this. And sometimes focus. Anybody think of everything but Jesus in prayer? You're doing to-do lists and you're praying for somebody going, oh, I wonder how they're doing. Now, let me check out their profile on Facebook. And then all of a sudden you're just going like, wait a second, I'm here to pray. And then let alone falling asleep. Oh God, it's just like, God, I'm here just resting in your presence and laying in your presence. And 57 minutes later, you wake up and go, man, it's so refreshing to be in the presence of God. I feel like I'm the only one in the church that faces that. Let me just tell, am I the only one or any other? Okay, you have problems. So let me encourage you today. Let me help you with bad news. And then some of you are going, I thought that was the bad news. No, this is, let me give you the bad news. I just want to talk about bad news and then good news. It goes like this. The bad news is, number one, none of us know how to pray. So you're going like, wait. Okay, listen, Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, the Apostle Paul says, for we do not know how to pray as we should. This is the, okay, listen for a moment. This is the greatest Christian on the planet saying, I don't even know how to pray. I know it's bad news for those that think you have an intercessory ministry and you know how to pray. The Apostle Paul says, I don't know how to pray. And so do you pray better than the Apostle Paul? I know I don't. And here he's saying, and includes himself, he wasn't pointing even to the Roman church. He says, we don't even know how to pray as we should. And those who feel like, I got this down, I finally got prayer, we still even fail at prayer. Because there's so much more that God wants to do and so much more that's there for us, that the news is that we all have difficulty. Nobody is excluded. Pastor, professor, church mother, older Christian, new Christian, we don't know how to pray. Don't be offended with me. Be offended with the Apostle Paul. He's the one who says that. He's the one. When we started that first church in Detroit in a XXX movie theater, we bought a 900-seat pornographic theater, and I really would just look to what Times Square Church was doing, Pastor Carter, Pastor David, and what they were doing. We would just mimic the same thing, but and some of it we needed to, and some of it was just me not knowing what to do, so I would just do it. And so we started a prayer meeting on a Friday night because you guys had a prayer meeting used to be on a Friday night. So we started a prayer meeting on the Friday night. It was the worst prayer meeting in the nation. It was me, two ladies who prayed, one guy who would just come and read the Bible and one demoniac. It was five of us every single Friday night. I didn't want to be there. The two ladies were always praying. The guy never prayed. He just read the Bible and somebody was manifesting in the corner. And I'm just going, this is the worst prayer meeting. And if I wasn't the pastor, I wouldn't even come to this church, to this prayer meeting. I wouldn't. And I'm sitting there one day and these two ladies found a man on the street that just got beat up the night before with three broken ribs, brought him and said, you're going to come to our prayer meeting, which was the worst in the nation, and said, we're going to pray and you're going to be healed at that prayer meeting. So they walk in with this man and they go, pastor, we brought in a man who's going to be healed tonight. And I'm thinking, not at this prayer meeting. He's not going to be healed. I said, you better take him to it. And I didn't say that because I'm the pastor. And I just said, and I'm thinking, this is, he's not going to get healed. Look, there's nobody here. We don't even know what planet he's from. He doesn't even pray. He's in John, and it's just the three of us. And for me, I don't even want to be here. And so I'm thinking, and then on top of this, I didn't even feel I was good. And I was young in the ministry, and even now old in the ministry. I didn't even feel like I was good at praying for people to be healed. I mean, I just felt like so many times I would lay hands on somebody and nothing would happen. And I was just going, God, I don't even know what to do. And so just to cover myself, I would throw in stuff like, as I'm praying for people to be healed, God, heal them if it's your will, just to cover myself, that they would not get angry with me, but get angry with God. And so I would just go like, this is not my problem, but I'll pray for you. So they bring this man to me and I'm thinking, I don't even know how to pray good broken ribs prayer for this guy that needs healing. And the Apostle Paul backs me up and says, well, none of us know how to pray. None of us knows how to do this thing. I've been in ministry for all these years and finally I realize I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know how to do this thing. And then all of a sudden, the good news came that I want to share with you today. The good news, let me read to you this verse. I'll read it to you out of the New American Standard. It says, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, listen to this, beyond what we ask. Listen to this, beyond what we ask or think according to the power that works inside of us. Listen to this again. This liberated me. I want this to liberate you. If you've been saved for 10 minutes, I want you to be liberated. Listen to this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. And what the Apostle Paul even tells us, he says, one, the bad news is we don't know how to pray. But the good news is the Holy Spirit, God in us, helps us to pray. He says, this is not dependent upon you. You don't even have to be eloquent and speak in all King James. He says, you can pray and God, listen to this. Paul was saying, say something, say anything, and God will get it right for you. That's what he was saying. And what we're thinking is, if I don't pray the right thing, then nothing's going to happen. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further. Because I didn't know what to pray. Listen, your ask, what he was saying was God goes beyond your ask. He goes beyond our simple words. He goes beyond even the words that we don't even know what to say. You could say something like help and God goes, I know how to interpret that for them. Your ask starts it and God goes, I begin to take it further than even what you said. He goes, I go far more abundantly beyond your ask. I love those words. He takes my ask and he goes further. God takes what you say and he puts power to it, which takes the pressure off me trying to go, I don't have a good rib prayer. I don't have a good healing prayer. I don't have a good pray for the nations. I've sat here on a Tuesday night sometimes praying that they don't ask me to pray, thinking to myself, I don't have a good pray for the Muslim world prayer because I don't know what to do. But then I started to realize, just say anything and God takes what you say and and brings it further than you can ever articulate it to God and to heaven. Because it's not us, it's God praying through us. Listen, you can be saved 10 minutes and still be powerful in prayer because it's not you, it's God. So the guy with the broken ribs goes, yeah, I want to be prayed for. I'm going, oh, great. So I lay hands on him. So it's me, the two ladies. I said, can you stop reading and bring him over there? You stay. And so we're doing this and we're praying. And it wasn't even a good prayer. It was this prayer. I just go, God, the real healing that he needs is the healing of the heart. No, he didn't. He needed his ribs healed. And I'm just going, Lord, the real healing he needs is the healing of the heart. And he's groaning. And I'm just going, and Lord, because you love him, if it's your will, fine print, if it's your will, heal him of these broken ribs. And then I'm just going, okay, let's all come together and close. And the guy goes, he goes, I'm healed. I said, no, you're not. I said, you're not. He goes, no. He says, and he starts pulling off the bed. He goes, punch me. I said, all I could see me is on Judge Judy the next day going, he punched. And I said, are you serious? He goes, yeah, look at this. He says, I'm healed. I go, oh my goodness, it works. I said, this is amazing that God can take. Listen, bad news is I gotta pray for your ribs. Good news is God takes my cruddy rib prayer, takes it beyond, and says, I can bring healing even when your prayer is not the right prayer to pray. That's why I love what William Cowper said back in the 1700s, who began to write the amazing hymn that we have sang here on the blood of Jesus, when he said this, he says, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees. He says, because it's not an issue of us, it's him praying through us. So listen to me, the only way I fail in prayer is to not show up. Let me say that again. The only way to fail in prayer is to not show up. It's not your words, because you're not even good at it. I love Pastor Patrick when he prays. My goodness, he's not good enough. But God takes his words and says, even if they don't make the grade, I push them far beyond anything he can ask. The bad news is you and I don't know how to pray. The good news is God knows how to interpret our bad prayers to get them answered. Let me help you with this. Listen close. How does God make our words bigger and better? Let me just take you one quick thing. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet. He was being hunted down by a demon-possessed woman named Jezebel. How many remember that name, Jezebel? This woman vowed that she was gonna have this prophet killed. When he finds out that he is now a hunted man and that she is trying to kill him, listen to his response. I'm reading out of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3. Listen to his response. Verse 3, he was afraid, this is Elijah, this is a prophet, arose and ran for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, left his servant there. He went on a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested, now this is the prayer part, requested for himself that he might die. He says, it is enough, O Lord, take my life. Do you understand what he just prayed? He just said, I'm done with this, kill me now. So he's praying, watch this now, bad news, he doesn't know how to pray. But he's a prophet, Pastor. He doesn't know how to pray. Good news is God knows how to take his kill me prayer and make it say what it was supposed to say. So watch what happens here. He says, kill me, I'm done with this. Oh Lord, take my life. So that was his prayer. This is what God did. Verse 5. He laid down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him and said, arise and eat. he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate, drank, lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he says, God, kill me. Remember, bad news. Good news, the Holy Spirit goes, he didn't mean kill, he meant cake. And he's waiting to die, and God's baking him a cake and sending him angels. Thank God he doesn't answer all of our prayers, but begins to edit them and change them for what they're supposed to say. The bad news is I don't know how to pray. The good news is that the Holy Spirit who resides in you and in me helps those prayers to go above and beyond what we even ask. So he asked, kill, God sends him a cake. Thank God he edited those prayers. The only way to fail in prayer is to not show up. Some of you go, I can't come on Tuesday night. I don't know how to pray. Exactly, but he does. You can come on Tuesday. I'm not a good prayer person. Neither am I. I sleep. I do to-do lists. I run out of words. But that doesn't mean I can't pray. The only way I fail and you fail in prayer is that we don't show up. Tuesday night when we pray for the nations, you're going, I don't have good nation prayers. Neither do I. Because it's not us. The bad news is we don't know how to pray. The good news is that God says, say whatever you can, and I'll take it and push it further than you can ever imagine where those prayers go. Oh, God, what if I say kill? That's okay. I'll make it cake. I can take your simple words and my simple words and turn them into something. In the same way, listen to Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. For bad news, we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. He says, even though you don't, God says, I'll fix your can't and your don't, and I'll put the Holy Spirit deep inside of you. That's why when you become a Christian, you don't become a Christian and get a church. When you become a Christian, you get the Holy Spirit, God himself, living inside of you. That's what's the amazing thing about being a Christian, is he comes and lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit takes our silly, sometimes, forgive me, but dumb prayer and edits it and says, let me just spell correct this and make it say what it was supposed to say. Instead of kill, it's cake. The Holy Spirit will do that. He'll go ahead and say things, and I'll say things that seem so dumb, and God, the Holy Spirit, comes and helps that. Because if he didn't edit those things, there's stuff that I've asked for that thank God he didn't answer. Thank God he didn't go up. I mean, it could be you here. God, I love her and want to marry her. I know that's my wife. God, let her marry me. And the Holy Spirit goes, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. That means that was the only person that I said yes to go out with him in the last year. They don't need a wife. They've just been lonely. They just need to be happy they have a date. Don't let them get married just yet. It could be like, I hate you, God. Holy Spirit goes, hold on. It doesn't mean hate. It means they don't understand you right now and are just a little bit frustrated. It could be, God, I need a husband. My biological clock is ticking. They mean God, they don't need a husband. They just need to fall in love with Jesus before they fall in love with any man is what they need. God, I need more money. Holy Spirit says, no, they don't need more money. They just need to be a good steward of what they have and not be afraid to tithe. God, you better do something or I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. And the Holy Spirit just goes, nope, they're just tired. They feel like they're on a merry-go-round. Answer's coming real quick. God, I wouldn't care if they died. Holy Spirit says, they don't mean die. They mean help them to forgive them because they've been hurt and they need to learn how to love them. God, why is there so many cars in New York City? What they mean is a thank you that you're giving me patience and teaching me patience in the Lincoln Tunnel. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, I'm done with this marriage, the Holy Spirit edits and says, what they are saying is, teach me how to love my wife as Christ loves the church. I can't take this anymore. The Holy Spirit says, Father, what they mean is, they need strength for today. That's what they need. Let me just finish and sum this up. So one, my prayer will always come up short in words, in emotion, and in power. I'll always come up short, but always keep this in mind, Times Square Church. It's not about the one praying, but the one we're praying to. Because we're so focused on us. We're so focused on us having the right emotion, the right power, and the right words when we pray, and to think that we're the one that's causing this to happen. It's not the one who's praying, it's the one we're praying to. That's what makes all the difference. Keep that in mind. I'll always come up short in prayer, but all of a sudden it liberated me when I go, God, it's not about me, it's about you. It's you editing these words from this vessel, this broken vessel. And then I realized that God, number two, is committed to taking my simple, silly prayer words and adding power to them. He'll take the simple prayers, a simple rib prayer, a simple salvation prayer, a simple prayer for protection, and God, you'll take a silly, simple prayer and you'll add power to it. You'll go above and beyond what I even asked or even could think, and goes, you don't have the capacity, but the Holy Spirit inside of you does. It's not you, all this pressure on you. It's God going, I've got my hand on this, and I'm going to take this further than you've ever gone. Listen, it all depends upon whose hand is on you and whose hand is in it. It goes like this. A basketball in my hands is worth about $19. A basketball in LeBron's hand is worth about $75 million. It all depends upon whose hand it's in. A baseball in my hand is worth about $8, but a baseball in Jeter's hand or Big Poppy's hand is worth about $19 million. It depends upon whose hand it's in. A tennis racket is useless in my hand. A tennis racket in Roger Federer or Serena Williams' hand is a French Open or Wimbledon. It depends on whose hand it's in. A rod in my hand may keep away some crazy Rottweiler, but a rod in Moses' hand will part a sea. It all depends upon whose hand it's in. A slingshot in my hand is a kid's toy. A slingshot in David's hand is a mighty weapon. It depends upon whose hand it's in. Two fish and five loaves in my hand is just a two fish sandwiches. Two fishes, five loaves in Jesus's hand will feed 5,000 people. It just depends whose hand it's in. A nail in my hand may produce a birdhouse, but a nail in the hands of Jesus Christ will produce salvation for the entire planet. It just depends on whose hand it's in, and we are in his hands. Stand with me. The bad news is we don't know how to pray. The good news, he does. Listen, that means you can come on Tuesday night. You can drive here, join with the worldwide prayer meeting. And some of you may have said, I don't know how to pray. Exactly, that's the truth. But he knows how to pray. He knows how to, as you're being led to pray for countries, as you see on the ticket tape going across the screen, and it says, pray for me in Iraq, pray for me in England, pray for me in Malawi. And you're going, God, I don't even know how to do this, but I'll say the words. God goes, perfect. The bad news is you don't know how to pray. The good news is I'll take your little prayer and I'll push it beyond what you can even ask or think. That's the way he does it. And some of you have been so afraid, I don't know what words to say. We should pack this house out going, the pressure's off us. The pressure's off you. You don't, just show up. Just show up. And God goes, I'll take your South Africa prayer and I'll make it say what it's supposed to say. Because we think, I mean, how ridiculous for me to think it all depends upon the words that I say. That's ridiculous. My goodness, there's so many dumb words that come out of my mouth. Thank God he doesn't answer those prayers. I would have been married to my third grade teacher. I love her, God. I love her. Please don't ever let get married. And God's going, what he means. And sometimes God's going, just wait till Facebook is invented. You'll see why you didn't marry those people that you wanted to marry. I'm just telling how many, you can pretend you don't know what that means. You know what that means when you just go, God, thank you that I waited. Thank you that I waited for the right person, the right time. Because if you would have answered every prayer for me to get married, God, this would have been a train wreck. So when you're sitting here today and you're just going, I don't know how to pray. Exactly. But he does. Bad news, I don't know how to pray. Good news, but the Spirit himself. You could sit there and just go, I just know how to play the keyboard. I just blow on those silver things. You can pray. You can pray for the nations. You can pray for people. I'm not called pastor. You don't have to be called pastor. Any one of us can pray because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. Any one of us can pray. And can I just tell you this? If you're watching on the webcast, sitting in an annex, or maybe you're standing against the wall or leaning on a column here because you couldn't get a seat, just listen for a second. And the one prayer that can change your life today is the prayer that says, God, I need you in my life. I just need you in my life. And some of you have come in and gone, I don't know all the religious things to pray. I don't know how to. You don't have to know them. God knows if the need inside of you is to have God in your life. God goes, I know what that means. I know what that means. Sometimes we feel like you've got to say these exact words and all of a sudden everything changes. I'll lead you in a prayer today, but that doesn't mean anything. It's not a magic prayer. It's with your crying out to God in your heart that literally says, God, I just need you in my life. I don't need church on Sundays. I need God every day. That's really what the prayer is. I'm not inviting you saying, show up on Sundays and everything changes. What we're saying is that if you leave this place with a relationship with God, every day changes. Every day changes. This is called being born again. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what happens is, listen to me close. Listen, those in the annex, those standing with me right now. Religion will ask you for one day a week. God will ask you for every day. That's what'll happen. Religion will say, show up on Sundays and everything will be okay. That's not true. God goes, I want Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I want to walk with you. I don't want, as we prayed, I don't want a dating relationship with you that you see me in your best clothes on Sunday for 2 hours. That's a date. I want a marriage with you. I want a relationship with you. That's what God wants with me. Well, Pastor Tim, how does that happen? How do I have a relationship with God? How do I leave this place? Because sometimes we think we just show up in the building and everything changes. Mm-mm. When Jesus died for us, he sent out an RSVP that just simply said, if what I've done for you is I've paved the way for the forgiveness of sins, that God comes and changes us from the inside out. There is no religion, no church on the planet that can change you from the inside out. Only Jesus can do that. And it really starts like this. It really starts us just simply going, God, I don't have the right words. I don't know what to say. All I know is I want that relationship with you. I want that relationship with you. I want you to come into my heart and change me from the inside out. And when the Bible says that we make him Lord of our life, that's a first century word. It was used in the book of Romans because it was a word that was very popular in the Roman society. And really, if I were to tell you what the word Lord means, it just simply means Jesus becomes boss. He's the boss of our life. God, you have the final say. You're the one in charge now. That's what that meant to them. It meant that the one who's in charge, who ran Rome, they would call him Lord. And we're just saying, God, I just want you to be in charge. Because when I'm in charge, I mess this thing up. I have messed this thing up royally. But God, I need you to change me. I don't care who you are. I don't care if this is your first time here or your 10th time here. I'm telling you, when God comes in and changes you from the inside out, I don't know the right words. You don't have to know the right words. He knows what you mean from your heart. I want you to bow your head for just a moment here. I just want you to get ready for just a moment, because I think God may be touching your hearts in the annex, balcony, main floor, watching on the webcast in New Jersey. And if you're here right now without any hesitation, without just because you know it's something that's happening inside of you, it's a work that God wants to do from the inside out. You just happen to hear it to go, God, I've never been in church before. Some of you are sitting here and you're going, I haven't been to church in 3 decades, 30 years, 20 years. I've never been in church. I don't know the right rule. I don't know the rules or the language. You don't have to. God says, I'm gonna change you today from the inside out. If you're here today, now listen to me close, and you've never RSVP'd to the invitation to be born again, to say, God, I want you in my life. I want you to change me from the inside out. I've never done that before. I want God to change me from the inside out. Listen, some of you have been here for a long time and you've done that. I'm speaking to those that have never done this before, that have never asked God to come in and say, I want a relationship. I don't want to date you. I want a relationship with you. I need you every day. My goodness, if this is something for a Sunday, then I'm in trouble, because it's the other 6 days that mess me up. And I need you in my life. I don't want to date you. I want a relationship with you. And if you're here today and say, Pastor Tim, if Jesus says I have to be born again, Jesus didn't say you have to be Catholic, you have to be Protestant. He didn't say you need a priest or a pastor. He didn't say you have to come to Times Square Church or whatever church, or our church. He says a man must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. John 3:3, John 3:5. That's Jesus' words, Jesus who can't lie. And if you're here right now and say, Pastor Tim, that relationship you're talking about, I'm telling you, the entrance is real simple. And I don't want to complicate it. And if you're here today, balcony, main floor, annex, and say, Pastor Tim, I want that relationship you're talking about. I don't need Sundays. I need every day. I need God right now. If that's you, without any hesitation, I want you to hold your hand up as high as you can. Say, pray for me today. I want that relationship with God. Hold it up and say, I've not done this before. This is the first time. Hold it up high. I want to make sure that we see all those hands that are up. Here's what I want you to do. Listen to me close. You've got people that are going to cheer you on because they're so excited. If you raised your hand and you've never, and this is the first time I see in the balcony, main floor, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to ask you to just take one more step. I'm not trying to complicate this, but I want to pray for you. I want the people to know how amazing this is. If that's you and you raised your hand, I want you to get out of your seat and walk up here right now, because we are so excited for what God's going to do. Come on, we'll wait for you in the balcony. I want you to come on down. Come on, right now. I want you to make your way down. We are so excited for what God's gonna do. In the balcony, if you don't know where you're going, our ushers will show you. This is a moment for God to change your life. This is a moment that God wants to do this. Come on, we're excited. We're gonna believe that God's gonna do it. We're waiting for you, because this is the day that God's gonna change you. God's gonna change you. And this is that first moment. Some of you have never done this before, and you're going like, I don't know the rules. I don't know the language. You don't have to know. I'm 30 years into this. I still don't know. But I do know that God can take that prayer, and we'll wait for you. I see some of you walking down. We're going to wait for you, because this is a special moment for Jesus to come and do something very special here inside of your life. Let me just tell you something. God loves you. He loves you so much, He died for you. And there is nothing that you have done. Listen, there is nothing that you have done that makes Him love you any less. And there's nothing that you've done that He can't forgive in your life. And you know what the biggest thing that I had to reconcile, even as a Christian, was this. I used to think that on my best days, God loved me more. And on my tough days, God was going like, okay, you need to step it up a little bit. Because sometimes we make God to become like sometimes our natural father. And I had a great dad, but sometimes we think we have to do this to please Him. God loves us as much as on our worst days as He does on our best days. His love doesn't change. And some of you think He has rejected you. Some of you think that He has left you. And I'm here to tell you, there is nothing you can do that He won't forgive. And wherever you're at, I'm looking. I wish some of you can see the eyes of some of these. I'm looking at the eyes and I'm just, and it, this is going to be a great day for you. This is going to be a great day. Because what God's going to do is change you from the inside out. It's from the inside out. And you may just think to yourself, I'm not really sure what to pray. Here, let me do this. This person who doesn't even pray good is going to help you pray. But here's the cool thing. Even my simple prayer, God goes, I'm going to take it further. I'm going to take it further than you can ever have done, Tim. And when you pray, you're going like, what if I say the wrong words? There is no wrong words. You have the Holy Spirit that's going to help you right now. His presence. We are so excited for what God's going to do in your life. Here's what I want you to do. I want you just for a moment to close your eyes, and I want you just to say this with me. Say, dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt and died for it. You faced hell for me, so I don't have to go there. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. Come on, say this with me. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.